Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This is not college football anymore.
Greg Cosell.
Just go out there, put some things on film. We'll see it on film.
Analyst for ESPN NFL Matchup.
The other thing that jumped out, learning from film.
Watching film a lot.
Now we break it down on film.
That really comes with studying film.
Senior producer for NFL Films for over three decades.
I really like Anthony Miller. I think he'll be a really good player. No, I don't think there's anything wrong with the receiving core at all. I think this is actually a good group. I think it's a multiple group with different skill sets. They have a pretty good receiving core.
Breaking down the film for every Bears game.
On second down, Trubisky well protected. Wide open. Anthony Miller slips a tackle. Miller to the end zone. Touchdown, Bears!
Film doesn't lie. Doesn't lie.
Greg Cosell with McNeil and Parkins on 670 The Score.
This hour on The Score brought to you by Continental Motors. Searching for a used car? Search ContinentalMotors.com for the Continental Difference. From NFL Films, the NFL Matchup Show at ESPN, 38 years plus watching film. Greg Cosell joins us to break down the film each and every week of the Bears and their opponent. It's a big one, Greg, this week. How you doing?
I'm doing great, Danny. Yeah, this is pretty exciting. Big Sunday night football in Chicago.
Yeah, we weren't expecting that after opening night, the way things have been going around these parts. But, man, not only this week, a couple weeks later against the Rams, we hear so much about the Vikings defense being so daunting. When you look at them on video, what jumps out first and foremost to you, Greg?
Well, I think there are a number of things, Danny, which is why they're so good. First of all, their defensive front. They're not a high-percentage blitz defense, although they will on occasion, but their defensive front can get after the quarterback. I think they're linebackers, and I guess, is Barr now healthy? But Barr and Kendricks are very, very good as their nickel linebackers. They both can cover. They use Barr at times as an extra rusher when they do pressure. And I think in the secondary, I think what always stands out with the Vikings pass defense is that they play as much with split safeties or two shell as any team in the NFL. And I think what's really important about that is it allows you to be able to adjust to formations more, particularly 3-by-1 sets, which is what a lot of teams do, obviously including the Bears. But they play as much two shell as any team in the league, and their safeties tend to play low, so they get involved in the game. A lot of times you see teams play with their safety so deep, and I watch tape and I think they really have no impact on anything. But they keep their safeties low, and they're very much involved.
Anthony Barr sat out the last two games with a hamstring. He's been limited in practice this week, listed as questionable. Both teams pretty healthy coming into this one.
In terms of the Bears' offensive line stacking up against that pass rush, how do you see that matchup?
I think that could be a tough one, depending on now, Danny, what we're getting into is situational football down in distance. Obviously, if you're in long yarded situations, to me, the advantage would clearly go to the Viking D-line. But if you can manage the game and for the most part keep down in distance relatively normal, then I think with Nagy's play calling and what he does with movement and formations, then they can keep that relatively in check. So much will depend on the down and distance situation.
We can't go too far in this town from hearing or all around the country too, with Notre Dame in the college football playoff picture, Harry Hiestand, the offensive line coach, yet in protection, they've been good. Running the ball, they have not been effective.
Yeah.
Why are the Bears? Because it's not just Jordan Howard. He's often got guys draped on him before he even gets to the point of attack.
Yeah, although I have to tell you, I don't think he looks particularly good this year, and I think that very often a good back can make an O-line look better. I think he looks a little heavy. Even at his best over the last 2 years, he was sort of deceptively quick. He's not an explosive back. You don't watch Jordan Howard and go, wow, look at him run. But to me, this year, he looks a little bit heavy, a little bit sluggish, a little bit slower, and I think that's a part of it, to be honest with you.
That's the same thing I see. We're all seeing the same thing.
I do not see a special football player. When Dalvin Cook had his 71-yard run 2 weeks ago, I said to my buddy, we'll never see 24 in the Bears uniform do that. Never. Never once.
No, and like I said, the past 2 years, I mean, he's a certain kind of runner. He's obviously, even at his best, is not going to look like Dalvin Cook. But there was kind of a subtlety to his movement. You know, he was the kind of back that you looked up and he gained 7 yards when it looked like it was blocked for three. Now when it's blocked for three, he gets three. I don't think he looks as good.
Mac mentioned Dalvin Cook. Let's flip it around. We've talked about the Bears' rush defense, and Mac's contention basically has been no one's really tried to pound the rock. Frank Gore has the most attempts anyone this year against him, and he was really successful. Is that they've only given up one rushing touchdown? Are they as good as the numbers suggest, or have they not faced a team that's been committed to running it with elite running talent?
Well, I think they're very good. Again, now you get into volume. Obviously, if a team is able to run the ball more, you would think they'll gain more yards just mathematically. But I think they're very, very good up front. I think Hicks is clearly one of the best in the league at his position. I think that Bullard and Goldman have played well. I think Nichols has played well in the snaps that he gets, and he usually gets 20 to 25 a game. I think Trevathan and Smith, you know, Smith is in a good situation here. He's kind of a runner. It's not that he lacks physicality. You know, he's obviously not a big man, but he's kind of a mover and a runner, and he flows. So I think their run defense is very good.
I think it has been, too. I'm looking at Greg from the Vikings' perspective. Now, while Cousins has been taking care of the ball with interceptions, he's also, I think, got 7 or 8 fumbles this year. You go on the road, what's the best way to settle him down? Run at the Bears. And we saw Seattle do it very effectively last night against Green Bay. They had 35 runs, 31 of them, I think, were called runs, and that's the big reason they survived Russell Wilson's crappy first half last night.
Yeah.
I expect some more regression with passing numbers and a progression with rushing numbers collectively, running back by committee these last 7 weeks. Do you think that'll happen?
You mean in the league as a whole?
Yes, in the league as a whole.
That's an interesting question. I mean, you know, to me, and maybe I'm old school, and I know that there's a lot of articles that have been written about spread offenses, and that's where the game's going. But at the NFL level, spread is a relative term compared to college. And one main reason for that is because of the hash marks. In college, the hash marks are very wide. So the wide side of the field is extremely wide. It's like the Grand Canyon. You can't cover the wide side of the field in college football. The NFL, yes, there's still a boundary side and a wide side, but the wide side is much smaller. So just by the very symmetry of the field, the game is played more in the middle of the field, just by the very symmetry of it. So the run game does matter, I think, and you need to be able at some point, even if you're running at a shotgun, you need to be able to run the ball inside. And we'll see. I mean, we'll see what the Vikings do this week. They say Dalvin Cook is finally 100% healthy. So we'll see if they line up and truly try to run the ball. They've actually got two good backs.
Mm-hmm.
Greg Cosell from NFL Films and the NFL Matchup Show at ESPN. Kirk Cousins has had special productivity throughout his season. Is he a special talent?
I wouldn't call him a special talent. I think that he's a solid talent, and I think that when he has multidimensional weapons and a scheme that works, and I really like John DeFilippo as an offensive coordinator, then I think that Cousins can be a very efficient, effective quarterback. I mean, he has two really good receivers in Diggs and Thielen. So Thielen is a very tough matchup, which brings an interesting matchup into play in this game, because I think Bryce Callahan is a very overlooked slot corner who's played well, and he's going to match up to Thielen when Thielen's in the slot. And Thielen, I believe, is second or third in the league in terms of slot reception yardage, so that's where he'll be a good amount, and I think that's a very intriguing matchup. Now, Vic does not necessarily just line up and play man. He did play a lot of man this past week against the Lions, but there's a lot of matchup zone principles, so it'll be interesting, but that's a matchup to look for and to watch in this game.
Greg, I'd like you to elaborate, if you don't mind, a little bit on Bryce Callahan and what he brings. I think I have a pretty good understanding of what the front seven do and what, you know, connotes good fundamentals, bad fundamentals, but I've never really had a real good grasp on the back four. And he has been a difference maker. There's no doubt, a sack and a pick last week. And the more, yeah, more we see him, the more we like him. Tell us about what we should be watching when 37 trots
well,
out there.
Think of it this way, Danny. First of all, the slot corner position now is a real position. You know, it's like, you know, 30 years ago, middle reliever was a guy who couldn't close and couldn't start, but now middle reliever is a real position in baseball. Slot corner is a real position. And think they need to be able to do three things. They need to be able to cover man-to-man, and that means they need to be cover man-to-man when receivers have a two-way go because they're in the slot. There's a lot of space. They need to be able to play zone underneath coverage and zone. They need to be able to play the run with some kind of aggression and toughness and physicality because teams line up with three wide receivers an awful lot in this league, probably close to 60% on aggregate. And then the other thing they need to be able to do, and we saw that last week, is they need to be able to blitz, and that's an art. So slot corner is a position that requires certain traits, and I think Callahan has those traits.
Because of the spread offense explosion and points everywhere, do you see a time soon where defensive coordinators saying, hey, we're tired of just guys just running all over the place and run after the catch is crazy and employ more speed and maybe consider five DBs consistently, maybe as many as six or seven DBs on the field at the same time?
Well, are you talking about versus base offensive
yes.
personnel just as a matter of principle?
Yes.
I think they would – well, let's put it this way. I'm sure new school thinkers would say, hey, that's not a bad idea. I think most people would think that you're really going to get hurt in the run game if that's the case. So the question is, what are you willing to give up? Every defense – theoretically gives up something. You can't cover everything all the time. So it just becomes a matter of what are you willing to give up. You know, it's like if you play the Kansas City Chiefs, a lot of people say you got to stop Travis Kelce. And that may be true. But then if they hit Tyreek Hill on a 60-yard touchdown, you have to say that, hey, I was willing to give that up because I'm more interested in stopping Kelce. So you have to decide what you want to give up when you decide to put a defense together, both based on personnel and approach.
We've got an interesting coaching matchup here. Bears coach Matt Nagy, known for his offense. Mike Zimmer, known for his defense. How do you see Matt Nagy's offense matching up against Zim's defense?
Well, what'll be interesting to me, because Zim plays a lot of zone. Now, he plays man, clearly everybody does, but he does play a lot of zone. And I think the schemers like Matt Nagy, they tend to be very, very effective against zone concepts because that's where the route concepts and combinations really come into play, how you break down zone coverage. So that's an intriguing part of this game. I don't know the answer to that. I can't tell you who's going to come out better, but I think that's a really intriguing part. And then when it comes to man, I'm very curious to see if Xavier Rhodes travels with Allen Robinson. Now, Allen Robinson also lines up inside because the one thing about Nagy, just like his mentor Andy Reid, is they don't just line up statically with people in one spot. And obviously that can impact when a team wants to play man and get a matchup. Sometimes they don't do that. Rhodes does not travel inside in the slot.
Away from Bears-Vikings for a second, where was your level of stunned last night when Mike McCarthy decided to punt on 4th-and-2?
I was surprised only because of the timeout situation. If he'd had 3 timeouts, I would have thought, okay, that's the right move because you can stop them and stop the clock. But without the timeouts, and particularly with the run game, because Seattle is a running football team at its core, and you know, they'd done a pretty good job all game, and that's their MO, then it just seemed that the time was going to get away from them.
You've talked about, you just were saying, Nagy and Reed and other coaches that like move guys around and play in different positions. Is Mike McCarthy's offense basic by 2018 standards and predictable?
Predictable is an odd word, Danny, because there's, you know, I know what you're asking. You know, does he do the kinds of things that Andy Reid and Matt Nagy do in terms of movement of people? And no, probably not. You know, that's a hard question. They do run a lot of isolation routes. By that, I mean they ask their receivers to basically win one-on-one. And if you have great receivers, they can do that at times. I mean, we've seen Devontae Adams do that at times. But they don't do as much, I would say, route integration as some coaches. So if that's your standard, then yes, he's probably not quite as creative.
That's as close as you're going to get to Greg Cosell agreeing with me and saying that Mike McCarthy just stinks.
Yeah, it's a good day to be Danny Parkins today.
I will also say this. I think that their run-pass ratio, whether you have Aaron Rodgers or not, is a little out of whack. Because Aaron Rodgers, and it didn't happen last night because they only ran 49 plays, and it didn't happen the week prior because they were ahead for a good part of that game. But prior to that, Aaron Rodgers was dropping back on average more than 45 times a game. That's too many, no matter who your quarterback is.
Yeah, he's a clown. Greg Cosell from the NFL Matchup Show at ESPN and NFL Films. Thank you, Greg.
Thanks, Greg.
All right, guys, thanks.
See you soon.
I'm just saying.
Talk soon. I won't see him.
Yeah, no, we'll talk.
Yeah, we'll just talk.
We'll talk. We'll talk next week. Well, we'll figure it out.
Ish.
Ish, and Thanksgiving, whatever. We'll figure
you
it out.
You said you wanted to do it once an hour.
Oh, you want me to
hit McCarthy
again?
In the mouth?
I can do it again.
Yeah, that's why I wanted to go down that road.
Sure,
Mention the Packers-Seahawks.
I'll do it on the other side. You gotta charge it up. Let it
good
build.
Day to be you.
Oh,
you got free concert tickets. You got your confirmation today on the social event of 2019. Packers are going to be changing coaches.
Very exciting. And who do you love at 3:45?
Oh, God, does it get better?
It doesn't on the score.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
Well, Frank Clark, number 55. This guy's a bull in a china closet. I don't know that he always knows exactly where he's going or what he's going to do, but you talk about a disruptive force. That's his sixth sack in the last five games.
It's a thing now. It's a saying. That's the second time in about 3 weeks an NFL analyst has had a bull in a china closet instead of a china store. Troy Aikman.
This guy's a bull in a china closet.
On Frank Clark of the Seahawks, number 55 last night, bull in a china closet.
Was the other
then
one?
He does his bull in the china closet imitation, just shreds. Perfect.
That's the other one. That's Dan Fouts.
Dan Fouts. Okay, I couldn't remember who the other one was.
Yeah, I couldn't either this morning, and as soon as I heard it right there, I recognized the voice. I was thinking it was Moose. I'm sorry, Daryl Johnson.
Yeah.
Or Witt, and I was wondering, maybe it's a Cowboys thing. Maybe it's
the old teammates thing.
Maybe because they had the White House in Dallas.
Yes.
Maybe they had the China House too, or at least maybe there was a China closet, like China White.
Yeah.
Heroin. Yeah, referred to as China.
This guy's a bull in a China closet.
What's saying? I don't know. There ought to be one.
There really ought to be one, Worm. I couldn't agree with you more.
Maybe it was like their version of rodeo versus bullfight, where they were just like, I just always thought that was the saying. Like they learned it wrong when they were kids, and just growing up, they've been saying that the whole way.
It has to be. It makes no sense.
No, it doesn't.
Why a china closet? It would to get a bull in it. It would have to be an enormous closet or a very, very small bull.
Yeah, and did you call it a china store? Because isn't it a bull in a china shop?
Shop, yes. Did I say store?
I think you did. Yeah.
Okay.
Well, just if we're going to be technical,
right,
pointing out their mistakes.
No question. Yes, I 100% with you on that. A bull in a china shop.
Not a China store.
Right, and not China that heroin is called. It's just like my favorite reference in film would be Benicio del Toro in Usual Suspects as Fenster when they were supposed to be getting stolen gems, I believe, and instead they got a suitcase full of heroin, and Fenster says, looks like a lot of China.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, they had the fence all lined up.
Yeah, right, Redfoot. What are we supposed to do this? I don't know. Feed it to the gimp. He throws a bag of it at Verbal Kint.
Yeah, I remember.
Looks like a lot of China.
The next night we do the...
He's a butcher.
So you think, movies, we should include some Usual Suspects in there.
Yeah, we'll do that again in 2019.
Okay, wow. Okay, we're going to pace ourselves. With that, Peoria Matt said, this discussion belongs in the hyperbolic chamber. Yeah, we get it wrong sometimes.
Or hyperbolic changer. Yeah, that's what it is. Chamber. I can speak.
Don't worry, we only have 2.5 hours to go.
Well, that's right. It's, it's Friday, right? It's running on fumes day here for the five-hour crew.
Bottom
can you imagine how it would be to produce this show? for 5 hours a day, 5 days a week, sitting in that little dirty room they sit in that's dark and has food stuck to the floor and just having to listen to us. Well, sometimes they don't. I mean, sometimes sure. The other producers come in and there's probably a better show going on in there on occasion.
Certainly an uncensored one.
Yeah. Probably. What are you talking about?
Yeah, that's
Danny
exactly.
And I are winning awards over here.
Yeah.
For the Not For Air Hall of Fame.
I mean, I produced for 3 hours, and it was a grind to stay awake. Really, it is. What I'm saying is I appreciate what you guys attempt to do.
That's what he's saying.
Okay, it's a long way to get there, but I appreciate it. An odd way to get there.
Yeah, you can't
How
tell.
The hell are you awake during this disaster?
Circuitous, I believe. Ooh, circuitous.
Circuitous.
Balls of holly.
Don't give away the Christmas bit.
Balls on holly.
What's about?
Hey, Mac, you want to guess what the Chicago Wolves have coming up for the bottom of the hour?
Oh, dude, you don't
it's
have
koozie
to.
Night. Let's go.
Yeah, Iowa's coming in.
That's right.
And then Manitoba is coming in.
Saturday and Sunday. Yeah, Saturday koozie night, as Shep mentioned, courtesy of Sport Clips. Sunday, the kids receive an admission pass to Legoland Discover Center. Visit ChicagoWolves.com. So part of the Mike McCarthy anger for me, and why I've felt this way for years and years, and it's nice that the rest of the country is coming around, is because I have an appreciation. Like, I don't have the same Packer hatred that a lot of Chicagoans do. My dad's whole family are cheeseheads from Wisconsin. I've gone to Lambeau a bunch. Like, he's
big games he's gone to.
Big games, big game Tom.
And a lot of them there in your life, opposed to here.
He's just he's an amazing football talent, and I like watching football at the highest level. And so I felt like Mike McCarthy has been wasting a decade of Rodgers' prime. And now there's this rumor that because of John Dorsey, the former Chiefs general manager, he was the number two in Green Bay as their executive. Now he's the GM of the Browns, and he has the best rookie class, and they're a nice turnaround team in the AFC. And he drafts Baker Mayfield and Denzel Ward. There's this rumor that Mike McCarthy gets fired in Green Bay.
Goes to Cleveland.
That John Dorsey's just going to hire Mike McCarthy. If you're telling me that now Mike McCarthy's going to ruin Aaron Rodgers' prime and he's going to get Baker Mayfield's rookie contract, like, no, I don't want that. Hire a good.
All right, if you're John Dorsey, who do you want?
Not Mike McCarthy.
I obviously not Mike McCarthy. I wouldn't hire him either. And I don't think he's as much of a turd as you do.
He's the worst.
That wouldn't be a guy. You're going to say this is crazy, but I'd try to get Josh McDaniels.
I don't think that's crazy. I think you watch the NFL.
I would love that because he would take that job. And then as soon as they're about to introduce him, then he'd leave the Packers high and dry, and they'd be in confusion. They'd be the laughingstock of the league for a couple weeks.
McDaniels seems to be a total
Colts have survived it just fine.
Yeah. I mean, you just have to get an offensive coach who knows what he's doing with creative schemes and play calling, and he seems to fit the bill. Like,
he's your guy.
I don't care if he's bad with the media. I don't care if he flip-flops on stuff. Like, game planning and play calling – in this version of the NFL is what matters most.
That's right.
Now, I'd probably go for, like, Lincoln Riley. Like, I would probably try to get whoever the next.
Educate us on Lincoln Riley.
Head coach at Oklahoma, totally innovative offensive playmaker. These NFL coaches will reference him as a guy that they're stealing from. And the Big 12 for a long time never translated to the NFL. All the Big 12 quarterbacks were bad, right? Sam Bradford was bad. Vince Young was bad. Chris Sims was bad.
That's right.
You know, but now the NFL is like the Big 12. Like, these numbers on offense in the NFL, they're running Big 12 offenses.
I know.
And you see Pat Mahomes from Texas Tech be great. You see Baker Mayfield come in and look pretty good early. Like, it seems pretty obvious to me that some of those really advanced offensive concepts that you see against those sorry-ass Big 12 defenses, like, that's what's working because of the rules in the NFL. So if he's this young, hotshot play caller that everyone's stealing from and he's a boy wonder coach, go get him.
Or you do it, and I probably would be less inclined to go this route because of the importance of offense. There are defensive-minded coaches who are going to have playoff teams this year, and Mike Zimmer is one of them. He trusts his offensive coordinator. He trusted Pat Shurmur last year. He gave him complete autonomy. And with a journeyman quarterback, they got to the NFC title game. Without their star running back, too. Their rookie running back wasn't a part of it. And Coach Flip, who's there now, would probably be one of those guys who is going to get a lot of consideration. But if you like the defensive-minded coach, you can pair him with somebody who is very, very competent, because those guys are out there too.
Yeah, I understand that. But like, so that's a great example, right? So John DeFilippo is just going to be a head coaching candidate somewhere else.
Again.
But so what are the Vikings?
Coach Flip.
What are the Vikings going to do? They're just going to have to keep turning.
Keep recycling offensive coordinators.
Well, that's not ideal in this version of the NFL. You lose Pat Shurmur, and if you lose John DeFilippo, honestly, Eric Bieniemy, who's now the offensive coordinator in Kansas City.
Mm-hmm. By title.
Right.
That's like Mark Helfrich is the offensive coordinator here.
Okay.
It's a name we haven't heard since training camp.
Okay, but Doug Peterson, Matt Nagy, they weren't really calling plays. Andy Reid.
Well, Nagy did for a little while.
For a little while, they said it.
What did they say, six games?
Five games plus the playoffs. But there was you watched, and Andy Reid was covering his mouth up with the whole play sheet, laminated menu. He never really took off the reins.
Not the same menu he used to eat off of, though. He slendered down quite a bit.
It's a different menu, but still a menu nonetheless.
I remember when he took the job, a friend of mine said to me, good thing Romeo Crennel preceded him. The bathtub has pre-stretch marks.
Jesus.
And the coach is up.
It's just – so I'd be looking for that. I'd be looking for –
I would be too.
So, but I'm not going to say that I have a list 10 deep.
The reason I say I'm not – it's not 100% with me is some defensive mind is going to figure out what to do against this spread offense mania that's going on in the NFL. Someone will figure it out, whether it's blitzing more – whether it's employing more defensive backs, and Cosell offers the counter to that, which is obvious. Well, if you want to put six defensive backs on the field, we're going to run right at you. Well, when you do that, we'll mix it up too. It's just another game of mix and match and playing matchups. That's all it is.
I'm not saying
how long can these defenses continue to watch teams roll up 500 yards of offense before they think unconventionally? Someone will figure it out.
Okay. The only reason I disagree with that is because this is by design. The NFL wants this. They're doing it intentionally. They changed the rules to help the offense.
Yes, they did. And give some smart football mind an opportunity to figure it out. What would you say this is for this style of NFL? Third, fourth year?
Yeah.
Ish?
Ish. And it's exploded this year because of some of the things we've talked about.
Gone to another level.
With the rough and the passer and the helmet hits, and that which extends drives and all that. But, like, it's by design. Points, it's good for fantasy. It's good for ratings. It's good for interest. We have a quarterback boom right now.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's hard for me to believe and see an NFL going back and saying, no, you can mug the wide receiver within 5 yards, or you can have a head-hunting safety now, or you could pile drive a quarterback into the ground. And so quarterbacks are getting hit less, so they're getting injured less, so we're seeing fewer backups.
I haven't mentioned this all week. There was a personal foul for defenseless player called in. I'm almost certain, and the reason I can't remember which damn game I saw it in and wasn't assertive enough to go find it, I'm pretty sure it was in Rams-Seahawks this past Sunday evening, early evening. There was a turnover. Shane Reardon and I were talking. There was a turnover, and the defense, which now becomes the offense, a DB just de-cleats the offensive player now trying to make a tackle, and the defender who was making the block as an offensive player had his head to the side. He didn't hit him from behind. He used the shoulder. It made contact with the would-be tackler's shoulder, and because of that, the head snaps, and the flags come flying out. That's how you block in the open field. If that guy doesn't have his head on a swivel, he deserves all he gets, and what he got was humiliated and annihilated and didn't get up for a little bit. That shouldn't be a penalty.
I know, but it is.
That's brutal.
In this NFL, in 2018, it is. And those types of things, now that's an example because it's a block on a defender. That was one of the few that actually impacted the offense negatively.
He's defenseless. He's defenseless because he's not paying attention. He's defenseless because he's not head on a swivel.
I agree with you.
You're in a battlefield, you idiot. He's running around, you know, looking up in the crowd. What are you doing?
He's
football, mister.
Yeah, well, it's this version of football. That's one of the few penalties on that stuff that you can point to and say that it hurt the offense. The vast majority of are defensive penalties.
Right.
In this
And it's funny that it happens to a defensive player who now is being penalized for being too rough in the rare occasion when they're on offense.
Correct.
No wonder Pat Fitzgerald thinks it's communist. Defensive communism. Defensive players just can't win in this day and age.
Olin Kreutz at 4. We'll all lose some money with Who Do You Love? Except for Mac. He's on a nice 2-1 streak on the score.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
George Thorogood, who I have met. George Thorogood, really, really, really neat guy. No doubt about that.
Who do you love?
It's going to be uncomfortable betting against Pat Mahomes. I love the Cardinals plus 17, but it's going to be uncomfortable.
It's really important to be uncomfortable.
You're right.
Bengals coming off a bye. Home dog. I love the Bengals plus 6.
Wrong.
And I will be betting against Eli Manning every game he starts the rest of his career. I don't care if it's in San Francisco. I get to bet on Kyle Shanahan. He's just laying the 3 at home. I love Nick Mullins and the Niners.
Nope. I think he's absolutely a Hall of Famer.
Michigan, they're laying 39 at Rutgers. I love the Wolverines laying 39 points.
Wrong.
Northwestern, 10.5 points. That's too many on the road. I don't think they win this game at Iowa. I love the Cats getting 10.5.
You're right.
Only a 2-point spread for the 16th ranked Longhorns. They're begging you to bet on Texas. What's that say? Take the home dog in Texas Tech. Who wins straight up? I love the Red Raiders.
Nope.
-7, it's a gift. I love the Bears Sunday.
You're right.
The Bears.
Cardinals and Chiefs. The total is 50. I'm going over.
Nope.
Under would be the key word.
The Rams, they're laying 10. It's too much for a divisional game. Getting the 10, I love the Seahawks.
Crescendo. I made money on it.
Yeah, who do you know?
Every Friday, right around this time on the McNeil and Parkin Show, we give you our best 3 points, 3 plays against the number. And good luck to everybody. Good advice. At least this is what I tell myself. Keep it to just a few over the weekend. Parkins last week went 1-2. He's in last for the year, which means he's the clubhouse leader to get the overnight shift with Les Grobstein, because there are never winners on this show. There are only losers.
Shep can tell you about that.
1-2 last week, 13-15-2 on the year. Parkins.
Well, Mac, I have no idea what I'm doing. I'm a consistent losing gambler, but damn, I love it. Who Do You Love, by the way, brought to you by Bet Chicago for betting and fantasy football coverage. Download the app today and bet for free. We start with a good team against the bad team, and I'm laying the points with the good team. Could not be simpler than that. It's the only team I've consistently made money on this year. I love the Chargers laying the 7 against the Broncos. I thought it was fluky when Eli Manning covered against the Falcons. He can't not cover against the bye. It was really fluky when he didn't cover the week before that, or this last week against the Niners. So I'm going with Fitzmagic. I love Tampa plus 1.5, and I can speak, boys. I'm betting against Eli Manning. I'm going down with the ship. Speaking of the Falcons, I think the NFC East is fraudulent. I don't think the Cowboys are that good, even though they had the game against Philadelphia. Falcons in a dome, laying the 3. That seems too easy. I'll be on the side with the public. I love the Falcons minus the 3.
Who do you love?
I kind of do too, but it's not on my list today. Shep went 1-2 last week. Nicky the Kid is 14-15-1 on the year.
Who do you love?
We'll start in Lincoln, Nebraska. The Cornhuskers, an 0-6 start on the year. Forgotten about. They were awful. Well, here's the story. The last 4 games, they're 3-1 with 4 straight covers. They welcome Michigan State, a team coming off of an embarrassing home loss where they just got destroyed by Ohio State last week. Love what is going on with Scott Frost. Love the future of that program. Getting a point at home, I love the Cornhuskers. Staying in college football, to the Bronx we go. Notre Dame's offensive line, outstanding. They're going to run all over Syracuse this week like they did Florida State last week. I take the team with a real defense, a real offensive line, not some gimmicky offense. Laying 10, I take the Irish, who are 5-1-1 against the spread, over their last seven. And finally, to the lakefront we go. Coming off of a bye, I mean, I can't dislike what the Bears did last week. They kicked the crap out of the Lions. But coming off of a bye and the talent the Vikings have, it just makes too much sense. If you're giving me 3 points with Minnesota, I love the damn Vikings.
Yeah, who do you know?
It's hard not to.
It
really is.
No, it's not.
He just told you why. I'm with him on every point he attempted to make. I went 2-1 last week and 16-13-1 on the year is the Tall Short Person Award. George wants to know something. The Los Angeles Chargers are the team that needs to be saying, we don't get any respect. It's not the Bears. It's the Chargers at 7-2. All they do is win, and all they do is cover. As Danny said, -7 at home against Denver. I love the Chargers. Philadelphia and the Saints are getting it on Sunday in New Orleans. The total is 56.5. The Saints had 51 last week on the road by themselves. They had 45 the week before. They put 30 on the board at Minnesota against that vaunted Vikings defense in week 8. They scored 45 against the Rams. I can get the Saints total at only 56.5. I'm going over in New Orleans. And the Texans and the Redskins are going to play football whether they need to or not. These are two winning teams. The Texans have run off 6 consecutive wins. Let's review them quickly. 2-point win over the Broncos. A win over the Jaguars that was uninspiring. They beat the Bills by a touchdown. They beat the Cowboys by a touchdown. They beat the Colts by a field goal. Before that 6-game streak started, they lost to Eli Manning and the Giants. I'm never going to say a 6-game winning streak in the NFL is unimpressive, but I think the Redskins at 6-3 getting points at home are an easy move. I love Washington.
Yeah, who do you know?
Nobody wins 7 in a row in this NFL when they're the Houston Texans.
Deshaun Watson might.
Nobody wins 7 in a row.
Shep.
He's taking the Vikings.
Taking the Vikings. So you think Minnesota wins?
Yeah, I think Minnesota wins that game. I'd do money line on that.
Money line on that.
What is the money line? Probably around 155, I'm assuming. 145 on the Vikes.
+105.
+105?
That's all it's offering right now.
That's all they're paying? That ain't a lot of incentive.
+3 is only paying out -140, though. So you're playing from behind the eight ball to start if you're betting the Vikings line.
A lot of disrespect. A lot of disrespect in Shep's Who Do You Love picks there. He called Syracuse a gimmicky offense.
They are.
What do you mean they are?
They are.
They're college offense.
Yeah, and a BS ACC that doesn't, I mean, you make fun of the Big 12 for not stopping anyone. It's Clemson stops people, and the rest of that conference is garbage.
Oh, I agree. Yeah, I agree.
Gimmick.
Well, it is that's what college gimmick. Football is.
Yeah. To a large degree, yes.
Yeah.
They just happen to be a team that's won 8 games that way this year.
Right. Notre Dame and Pitt played a game that was like 19-14 or something, and Syracuse and Pitt played a game that was 44-37. So both of them played. Now, Syracuse lost that game, and Notre Dame won it, but it's just they'll play a high-scoring game.
What time's kick tomorrow for that game?
1:30.
Okay, standard Notre Dame time.
Yeah,
okay.
I will be very surprised if that game
What kind of point total do you think Syracuse is going to put up?
30.
30?
Yeah.
I'll take the under on 30.
I'm sure. I mean,
I will take well under, not well under, but I'll take.
You don't have to be well under; just go under.
Yeah, I think Syracuse will. I'm not saying I don't know if they'll win. I will be very surprised if Notre Dame, I don't know how cold it's going to be or like how windy it's going to be at game time. I know that they just got a big storm out there, so if the weather is miserable, that obviously hurts Syracuse a great deal for how they play. If it's just cold, I think they'll be fine. But if it's windy and miserable, that's going to be a problem.
You guys would know this better than I would, but I heard somebody suggesting, and I don't remember where I heard it. Chances are it was here on a commute in this week. In fact, it might have even been yesterday. Might have been today. That Notre Dame, the adjustments the Irish have made along the way this year are very, very much a sign of how good of a coach Brian Kelly is. And just how they've changed during the season. And I'm thinking the team I saw in person early, which had not found itself for the simple reason and wrong quarterback, was a smothering defense, was a big physical offensive line. And the only reason my Ball State Cardinals were within spitting distance was because Gerard Wimbush was so god-awful.
Yeah, that's part of it. Like, Wimbush is
not... That's the only thing that's changed, right?
Well, they've also added running back Dexter Williams was suspended the first four games of the year. And part of it's he is their biggest and most explosive playmaker. Also, part of it is you get in November and you have four games that he didn't play at the start of the year. That's mileage that's simply not on him at this point in the season compared to the rest of that backfield. And it's like you have a pair of fresh legs back there essentially right now, and he's been a massive playmaker for them since he stepped on the field, really outside of the pick game.
And defensively, they've been pretty good all year.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, very much
that's
so.
That's what I thought. I mean, Ball State was lucky to be in the same park with him, and it was because of the quarterback, nothing more.
They're legit.
Brian Kelly is, for me, what Mike McCarthy is for you.
Yeah, I get it.
A guy I want to see dismissed.
I agree with you on that.
This is a bad year to be making that case.
It is, but they'll get crushed if they make the playoff. Now, it's still a great season to make the playoff, but they would get absolutely trounced.
Brandon Wimbush. Thank you. I said something else.
Oh. Well, ish. You said Wimbush.
I did.
You got the Wimbush part. You were so off on the first name, I don't even remember what it was.
I think I said Gerard.
You did, yeah.
Was I thinking that
Bushrod? Is that what you're thinking
of? That's what I was thinking. German, yeah, the former Bushrod? Bears tackle. Yeah, I fused a few names. Hoo-hods, Friday afternoon, and they work us 5 hours a day. That's my excuse.
I was so far off, I'm like, he just...
What did he mumble?
Slipped out of his
tongue. I said Germod. I was fusing names.
Electrodes. Cody Parker. Olin Krutz.
Friday for all of us.
Olin Krutz before Teddy Greenstein coming up on the score.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, O'Reilly.